Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Down the hatch the wrong way. Never drink a swig of water before you're going on the air. Thanks, Al. Jeez. Wow. Wow. There was a report that I read earlier this week. We're changing topics, obviously. And I'd like to do this one also for an hour because I think it's important. How many of you out there have a doctor, or for that matter, a dentist or whomever, who you really like, okay? Having a relationship with a medical provider is probably, next to your family relationships, I think arguably the most important relationship you could have in your life. I mean, you have to have a good relationship with the people you work for. Assuming you work, you have to have a good relationship with the people you work with, assuming you work. And you want to have a good relationship with your neighbors and your community. We all know that. And of course, with your family. But I think when you realize that your doctor, and for that matter, your dentist or any specialist you're dealing with, they know you very well. They know your medical history. They know what problems you deal with. They know what medications you're on. I mean, it's just very, very important. So I read this study, which was done by the Massachusetts Medical Society. And the headline on the study is frightening. It says about 1 out of 4 Massachusetts doctors, who are dealing with physicians here, are planning to say goodbye to medicine in the next 2 years, according to a new survey that's raising serious alarms about the future of the state's physician workforce. Think about how difficult it is when your doctor retires. I had that happen to me a few years ago. I had an extraordinary personal care physician, PCP. I will embarrass him, but I'm going to tell you, he was one of the most extraordinary people I've ever dealt with in my life. Alan Cole was his name. He's still alive. I mean, I believe. He retired early, I think. He was enthusiastic. He wanted to inquire about how you were doing at a number of levels, how your family was. I mean, he was what you would call, the perfect doctor. I had him, or I had the good fortune of having him as my personal care physician for at least 35 years. It's difficult to remember. I mean, there was one time I had a minor medical procedure, and this is probably 15 years ago. I probably was out of work for a day or two, so it was minor. But he found it in his schedule to come over and visit me at the hospital, and I was blown away by it. That a doctor would take time out of his day. And as we got to know each other better, he explained to me how difficult it was to practice medicine in Massachusetts with the changing regulations. But also for him, it was the paperwork. And apparently that is the same for many of these doctors that are saying they're thinking about leaving. According to the survey, the top work-related stressors include increased documentation requirements, not always related to clinical care, lack of support staff for non-medical tasks, time spent dealing with prior authorization, overreach of non-medical administrators in medical decision-making and resource allocation. You can read insurers there. And turnover of clinical and or non-clinical staff. So it is becoming, for doctors, a bureaucratic headache. I mean, a real bureaucratic headache. And as a consequence, if 25%, if this survey is true, the president of the Massachusetts Medical Society, his name is Ted Kalianos. Hope I pronounced his name correctly. We had invited him to come on tonight, but it was a last minute invitation, and maybe we'll have him on at some point. The survey results are not wholly surprising, according to the president of the Massachusetts Medical Society. Not inconsistent with what is happening across the country, but they are distressing. Kalianos says, during recent years, stakeholders have made earnest and consistent efforts to enact the fundamental and systematic changes required to decrease burnout and its effects, but clearly there is much work to be done. Now, I have no idea what he means when he talks about stakeholders. I don't know if he means the doctors themselves, the insurance carriers. I wish when they release these statements, they would release statements with understandable English. He goes on to say, particularly urgent is the need to work harder to address the professional well-being of and recruitment and retention of physicians from underrepresented populations. Okay, that's fine, but I want the professional well-being of all doctors to be attended to, because obviously if a doctor is not himself or herself in good mental and psychological state, how could they treat other people? Think about that one for a moment, okay? One of the problems with our systems is the medical societies around the country, I believe, intentionally limit the number of medical schools in this country. There are a lot of young Americans who are going what's called offshore to go to medical schools. And the reason for that is that we need more medical schools. We have a growing population. We have an aging population, an elderly baby boomer aging population, who are going to require more medical attention and more FaceTime with doctors. And I'm not talking about Zoom FaceTime. I'm talking about real FaceTime. We long ago gave up on the idea of doctors making house calls. But even with that, we need more doctors. And not only do we need more doctors in rural areas, we need more doctors everywhere. And there are plenty of bright, smart, young kids who are coming out of colleges and trying to get into medical school, and they have to go offshore to, by the way, in many cases, good medical schools. There's one in Grenada that I know of. So some of you who have more knowledge of this than I, particularly people in the medical field, please, if I'm correct on some of my instincts, let me know. But the bottom line is, this survey is the canary in the mine shaft. It is telling us that 25% of doctors here in Massachusetts are contemplating hanging up the stethoscope, not just moving to Florida or to some other state, but hanging up the stethoscope. Think about the loss of talent and experience that we are going to be undergoing. And then you put all of those people now trying to find doctors. It's impossible to find a doctor. You have to sometimes wait for months. And I've been through this experience myself. You call doctor's offices and say, well, the doctor can do an interview with you. Not necessarily like a first visit, but 3 or 4 months from now, we can set you up for an interview so you can meet the doctor and see if you like the doctor, etc., which is fine with me. But there needs to be more doctors. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030, and 617-931-1030. This is one that I feel so strongly about. I'm telling you, I know of young people. You know what the entering class is at the University of Massachusetts Medical School? It's about 120. You're telling me out of all the kids who graduate college and who want to become doctors, We can't train more than 120. I think that's the number, by the way. I could be wrong on that, but it's a very small and select group of kids. And a lot of kids from Massachusetts who live here and would love to live here and plan to live here, they have to go to medical school 1,000 miles or 2,000 miles away, if they're lucky. And sometimes they have to go to medical schools outside the country. That's what I mean by offshore. So I'd love to hear from you. If you have recently found a doctor easily, you know, looked it up in the phone book. No, they don't have phone books anymore, Dan. Looked it up online. Doctor, do you ever see a doctor advertising for patients? I don't think, you know, you ever see a doctor with a shingle out there, new patients welcome? I don't think so. And why is that? Every doctor doesn't have to be a brain surgeon, but we need more doctors. We need more personal care physicians, PCPs. This is important. Light these phone lines up and let me know what your experience is. If you have a good doctor and you'd like to give that doctor an acknowledgement and a shout out, as I gave to my former doctor, Dr. Alan Cole, you can do that as well. And if you are a doctor from the medical community, if there's anything that I've said that you disagree with, please, please help me, correct me, okay? I want more doctors here in Massachusetts. I want a plethora of doctors. And I also would like physician's assistants. And I would like people who can major at colleges in becoming, you know, we have legal paralegals. We should have the equivalent of paradoctors. Now, I think that who could be trained in school to deal with insurance claims. I mean, it's the insurance companies that are killing medicine, the delivery of good medicine in America, as far as I'm concerned. And if you go back, by the way, to Obamacare, not all of you will agree with me. The big winners with Obamacare weren't you and me as patients, were the insurance companies. Because the insurance companies got more patients, more people who were paying insurance for the insurance companies. That is the big winner under Obamacare. Okay, I've said my spiel. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030, 617-931-1030. The system is messed up. And if we don't get it under control and get it under control quickly and dramatically, you talk about a system that needs some real reform. This is what we've been talking about, and that's what we'll talk about this hour. Coming back on Nightside, light up these lines.
You're on Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
All right, let's keep rolling here. Going to start off with the call. It's going to go to Chris down in Taunton. Chris, I got your message the other day. I don't think I needed to call you back, correct?
That is correct. I think what is going on here is I think these doctors may be retiring, and it's good to get new doctors. I just saw a news story yesterday where people were getting their places to be assigned to as new doctors. And also, too, I think they're getting going for nurse practitioners besides regular doctors.
Well, what they do is when students graduate from medical school, they then get their residencies, and I think that's what you're referring to. Here's the problem, okay? Think for a moment that doctors, let's say just for the fun of it, are between the ages roughly. Let's keep it simple. Let's say 30. And 65. Okay? Fair enough?
Okay.
So that's a career of about 35 years. Okay? Well, it would appear that every year, you know, it would be probably 3% of doctors would retire. You know, if you know, you got 35 people every year, groups of 35 years. So in the next 2 years, you'd probably lose, I would assume, about 6% of the doctors. But those 6% of the doctors will be replaced by new doctors who are coming on to start their careers. What they're saying is that in the next 2 years, it won't be 6%. It'll be 25%. That's four times as many as doctors as you would normally expect. Those aren't all doctors retiring. Those are doctors who have given up the practice for whatever reason, and they're not either satisfied, they're overwhelmed, they're overstressed. We don't treat doctors well in this country. And we have to turn around our attitude and understand what a valuable commodity they are to all of us.
I agree with you on that. And whenever I see a doctor, I treat them as they would treat me to be.
And did you know that how it's very difficult, the number of medical schools in America, you know, universities where you can get a medical degree, are relatively limited. It's tough to open a new medical school. There are qualified college graduates who have to go, if they want to go to medical school, they're going to Grenada or they're going to other countries in our hemisphere. outside of the United States. We have too many smart kids. We can't let them get it. We want them to be educated in America.
Exactly. I agree with that. I heard you say that before the commercial.
Yeah. All right, Chris. I think we're on the same page.
Right. Thank you. And you have a good evening and a good weekend. And
yep, happy you too. And I hope you're having a good St. Patrick's Day, Chris. Okay. Thank you much. Have a great
one. Bye-bye.
Good night. Well, let me go to Larry in New York. Hey, Larry, next on Nightside. How are you?
Hey, Dan. First of all, happy day today. Hope you got a good plate of corned beef and cabbage.
I am not a plate. I got to tell you, we're going to talk about this at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
I think corned beef and cabbage is the worst meal. It's the last thing. It's the last thing. Did you have corned beef and cabbage today?
I had corned beef, and I did not get to the cabbage yet, but that'll be the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, let me tell you something. I am 100% Irish. I'm also a dual citizen, as I think I've mentioned.
Oh, I know. Dan, I know that. We've known each other since the 70s, so I'm well aware of that.
Right. Okay, now I know who I'm talking to. Okay.
Right.
And what I'm saying is that I just have never liked corned beef and cabbage and all of that. It's so much starch.
That's okay. Dan, I'm a New Yorker, and I don't like pastrami, so I get it.
But so tell me about
getting onto this. Getting onto your topic here.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you for doing this. This is very, very important in so many ways. But I think the one aspect that really needs to be looked at is that medicine in general is being turned into big business.
Yep.
It's being turned into assembly line medicine. And I know at least half a dozen doctors who either have retired or are thinking about retiring or leaving the business. The key elements that people have to pay attention to are hospital consolidation, where you now have two or three companies, maybe five companies, owning all the hospitals in an area. They then turn around and buy up all the medical practices. Like you, I have a phenomenal doctor, my cardiologist. I've had him for 20 years. Brilliant guy. 5 years ago, one of the major hospital chains bought their practice. He used to be able to sit around and talk a little bit before and after.
Yeah.
Now it's 15 minutes, and then I get to see the reports that he writes.
Right.
And there's actually on the bottom of the report a notation about exactly how long he spent with me, the patient.
Yeah. Crazy.
The other thing that's going on is that there's much too much in terms of, you're right, we need more medical schools. But the other thing that's also important is that there is much too much direction towards money-making specializations.
Mm-hmm.
One of the hottest places, one of the hottest areas they're training physicians now is in dermatology. Why? Not only because of skin diseases, because of facelifts and Botox.
Right. Yeah,
and these people are making tons and tons of money, those who do it. But going back to, you know, the main thing is the doctors who are leaving are telling me, and the 25% doesn't surprise me, because they are telling me they're not running an assembly line. And that's what they're being forced to do.
And that's what a different. I switched from my doctor, Dr. Cole, to another doctor. I'm not going to mention his name, but he basically told me the same thing. By the way, just for the fun of it, I just Googled here the offshore medical schools where young Americans are going. Okay, American University in Antigua, American University of the Caribbean in St. Martin, the Autonomous University of Guadalajara in Mexico, Medical University of Lublin in Poland, Medical University of also in Poland, Katowice, College of Medicine in Manila.
You're not mentioning one of the biggest ones, which is the one in St. George's, Grenada, which is which, if you remember, during the Reagan administration, we sent troops to get
Saint
the George, kids out of there.
St. George's University School of Medicine in St. George's. I mentioned that earlier. St. Matthew's University School of Medicine in Cayman Islands. University of Queensland in Brisbane, Australia. Xavier University School of Medicine in Aruba. I mean...
Yeah.
We have so many kids graduating from college who would be great, who have passed organic chemistry, and which is if you know what I mean.
Oh yeah, totally.
The thing that you and I probably couldn't have passed.
Yep. That's why I didn't become a doctor, Dan. I looked at that and said, no.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with the television business.
Yeah, for me, the periodic table is like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, and by the way, they've added another couple of hundred since we studied that.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Yep. But the other, there is a little bit of hope. And the little bit of hope is that some of the schools now are adding universities. Down here on Long Island in New York, Hofstra University opened up a medical school about 2 years ago. And so, but you know what it is, people? The alumni of these schools have to pressure the schools to start spending some of those millions of dollars, billions of dollars in endowments. You know, I would bet that Harvard could probably open up another medical school with its endowment.
Well, they wouldn't even have to worry about the endowment when you think about it. I mean, they charge. I mean, look, you know, postgraduate education now is going to be $40,000, $45,000, $50,000 a year.
Yeah.
I think that they could expand that. I think I could be wrong, but you know, I'd like to see Boston College have a medical school. I'd like to see, you know, I know Boston University has a medical school, but I'd like to see BC. We got some great schools around
here. Hey, why not Northeastern? You know, does UMass Amherst have one? I don't know.
Yes, well, it's a UMass Medical School, which is out in Worcester, which is part of UMass Amherst. But we got to do this, Larry. Thank you so much. You still in the business, as we said?
I am still in. I'm like you. I'm still pushing, getting a little more gray, but we keep pushing.
Drop me a note, will you? Let's keep in touch, okay?
I will do that. Dan, take good care. Stay healthy.
All right. Matter of fact, stay on the line and have Rob will give you my direct line. Give me a
call. Oh, great. Okay? That'd be terrific.
All right. Rob, give Larry my direct line. We're going to take a break. It's 9:30. Here comes the news. I got Joe and Donna and Alice and Bill, and I got a little bit of room for you. Once Larry drops off, there's one line open at 617-254-1030. There is one line open right now at 617-931-1030. Back on Nightside after this.
It's Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's news radio.
Okay, back we go. Joe and Lynn. Joe, next on Nightside. Go right ahead.
Hello, Dan. Let me just mute my thing. Okay, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Joe. But keep that radio down as Rob tells you.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I didn't know it would be first yet because I like these shows. Yeah, I think doctors. I want to give a shout out to my doctor, and then I want to play devil's advocate.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Be quick. Go ahead.
Dr. Abolio, he is out of the system. He is a private doctor. He's in his 70s. Now, I think he left the system because he doesn't like being controlled by hospitals, and I think this is the problem here.
Okay.
Hospitals are controlling these doctors. It's like when I had a problem, and I almost lost my eye. I'm not going to get into it, but I couldn't get any help. I had to go outside the system. No apologies.
Okay.
Nothing from any of the mistakes. So if doctors, we do need more doctors, but they have to stop this getting involved with, like Larry said, hospital, two or three companies owning hospitals and telling them how they can practice. They should be able to practice medicine with their patients' help the way they want to.
I agree with you on that. Absolutely.
Yeah, there are very few doctors now which make household. There are still a few, but it's so hard today. Mistakes are made, the cover-up, and it's just horrible. Glenn and I have talked about this, too, and I just wanted to mention this. So we got to figure out what to do before we get more doctors, then get more doctors. Yes, they're not being treated right, but it's partially their fault when they let these hospitals do this. A bunch of people own a bunch of hospitals, and they're so big, and it's ridiculous. You know,
all
when
right,
things
appreciate
happen,
it, Joe.
What do you do? Thanks.
Thank you much.
Great. Bye-bye.
Have a great night. Let me go to one doctor, Dr. Tate. Identifies himself from Quincy. Dr. Tate, welcome to Nightside. How are you?
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Very well. I hope that maybe some of the things that I have said tonight are things that you find to be true.
You talked about an assembly line.
I didn't use
exactly
that phrase, go ahead.
It's exactly what we have today.
Okay.
Now, the gentleman before, he talked about...
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hospitals. Most of us these days work for hospitals. It comes to reimbursement, the insurance companies, which, to tell you the truth, bleed us.
I've
been in medicine since my days in Vietnam. I was in Vietnam. I was a corpsman.
Wow, good. Well, thank you for that service.
In Vietnam.
Thank you for that service, and thank you for becoming a doctor.
That's where I became a physician, from Vietnam.
Yeah. Talk about on the job. Talk about on the job training.
Yeah. That's where I learned it, and I swear that's how I got into medical school, but that's neither here nor there. Well, you could start, when I started, you could see your patients the way you wanted to see your patients. Now it's totally changed.
Yeah, and not for the better.
I have to see a patient every 15 minutes. Yeah. The schedule.
Yeah.
If not worse, if not more. It's a matter of what the hospital is getting for reimbursement. And they make up, and now these days, my specialty is urology. I especially got cut 25% for Medicare reimbursement. That means reimbursement fee that we're getting from the government, which is Medicare, and the insurance will follow what Medicare says. And so it's down a full 25%. So the hospital to make up their lack of the money, just push on more patients, and you wind up triple booking, which can't be done, at least for me.
Not should be I done for anyone.
I have to sit and talk with my patients. I find an awful lot about what's going on with the patient simply by talking to them. They don't necessarily tell me what's going on, but by sitting there and just talking to them, it comes to me what's going on.
Yes.
But this is what's going on. It's like an assembly line.
And it's not good for you as the physician, and it's not good for me as the patient.
It's beyond us, the physician.
Yeah. Doctor, I appreciate you taking the time to. I appreciate you taking the time to call in tonight. You sound like the sort of doctor anyone would be lucky to have, and we need more like you. And I appreciate you listening to Nightside as well, Doctor.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
It's getting me a vicious cycle. Many of my friends are getting out of the business. I'm 76 years old. I'm with part-time 3 days now, but I'm getting out of the work within a few months. I'm getting out by the fall. I'll be out of it.
Well, we will miss you. On behalf of your patients, I'm sure your patients will miss you as well. Dr. Tate, thank you so much for calling in. We will talk again, okay, my friend?
Very good. Thank
Please
you.
Keep listening to Nightside. Good night. Let me go to Donna in Framingham. Donna, you're next on Nightside. Go ahead.
Hi. I have the best primary care doctor ever.
I'm happy for you.
What happened? I'll give the name in just a second because you said we could.
You can if you'd like.
I will in a second. I had two primary care doctors that retired, but they retired because they were in my 70s. And the most recent one recommended a new doctor for me. He was about 45, so now I can breathe easy for a while. Mm-hmm. His name is Rodrigo Rocha, R-O-C-H-A, in Natick.
Yep.
The group is called Charles River Medical Associates, the group. And he spends at least a half an hour with me, and he prints out, after we ending our visit, like 4 or 5 pages of information for me to read when I get home. So he's great. But I wanted to echo what somebody else said. The really difficult thing is to get primary care doctors, because if you compare them with specialists, they get a lot less money, which never made sense to me, because they're the doctor that's going to tell you, oh, I think you should see a cardiologist, I think you should see a neurologist, et cetera. So part of the issue is to pay primary care doctors more money.
I couldn't agree with you more, because those are the doctors most of us deal with. I could not agree with you more on that, Donna. I really
And don't forget, we have Tufts Medical School, too. So at least we have four medical schools.
We need more.
Don't forget
that's for
about Tufts. But Rodrigo Rocha, R-O-C-H-A, and he's not going to retire because he's only about 45, so I'm in good shape for a while.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Thank you, Donna. Appreciate the call. Talk to you soon. Let me go next to Alice in Beverly. Alice, you're next on Nightside. Go right ahead.
Hi, Dan. I'm so glad you're talking about this. I mean, we're all saying that we have the best PCP, but I told my PCP that he cannot retire and he cannot die. So those two things are, you know.
Those are
like
the two qualifications you want, right?
Yes, definitely. Well, I actually had a specialist that did retire, but he still works at Beth Israel with some of the residents. So if I go to the new person, I always say, please tell Dr. Ronthal. I said hello, and if things don't go well, I'll be in touch with him. So. But my PCP is in, Dr. Macalara is in Middleton, and he has actually brought a lot of the specialties to the office building that he's in, so that you know when you say to him, gee, I need to see this kind of a doctor or that kind of doctor, that these are people that he approves of because he's actually has them in his building. And I have not been disappointed with any of the other people that he's asked me, you know, to go to. But I feel like he is an important, really important person in my life. I mean, I send him birthday cards. I give him Harvest Food chocolate. Yeah. I remember his two sons as they've grown up. And they're like, one's graduated from college. But they were from a town nearby, and they played basketball with my godson. So I used to see him at basketball games. It's not only just what kind of a doctor he is, it's what kind of person he is.
Couldn't agree.
So because we're all only human, everyone can make a mistake. This guy doesn't think he's God. And one time I said to him, you're right, because there's only one God in this world, and it's not you and it's not me. But you are so humble, and you work with your patients. You don't just come in and dictate everything. Say, what have you been thinking? Because he knows I'm a nurse, but I'm not a doctor. But he works with you. When I just recently had breast cancer, he helped me to go through the process of, you know, like what I might do for treatment. Because I knew he cared for me. And this thing now that we have you ever had a hospitalist take care of you?
I've never heard the phrase hospitalist. I certainly am familiar with physician's assistants, but never heard the phrase.
No, a hospitalist. Okay, you're lucky, Dan, because the first time I heard it, I said, oh, I think you just made that up. I think you just made that word up.
Okay.
I said, no, that's who takes, if you're a patient that were to go into the emergency room for something and then you were needed to be admitted, well, your primary care doctor or even your cardiologist, they're all too busy to be taking care of you because they're doing office hours. So you get this hospitalist that changes every, like, 12 hours. So you're telling the same story to about five or six different people. And you most often would not see your primary care doctor. My primary care doctor came to see me twice, two different times when I was hospitalized.
Well, I had the same experience. I can identify with that. Alice, I'm past my break. I loved your call. I hope you continue. I know you continue to call this program, but you're an important contributor.
Right.
Thank you so much, okay?
Okay, take care.
Have
Bye.
A great weekend, okay? Thank you much. We'll take a quick break. I got room for a couple more. I got Bill, I got Jane, and I got Siobhan. But if you'd like to try to get through, 617-254-1030, I will get everyone in between now and midnight. And after midnight, after 10 o'clock, excuse me, I'll get everyone through between now and midnight. But I'm going to talk next hour about decluttering, downsizing, and moving forward. We're back on Nightside right after this.
It's Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
Getting everybody in. Fear not. Bill in Holbrook next on Nightside. Bill, go right ahead.
Hey, Hey, Dan, first of all, happy St. Patrick's Day. I love your show.
Thank you, and thank you to you as well.
I'd like to add some insight as the father of a primary care physician.
Okay. Because
it was so eye-opening when my son went through the whole med school application process. He was a great student, did really well in high school, college. He applied to no less than 25 med schools.
Yeah. He
got rejection letter after rejection letter. Eventually, he wound up getting three interviews. And one of the schools he interviewed at, he said, "Dad, listen to this. There are 7,000 applications. They give 700 interviews for 140 spots."
Yeah. So one out of 10 of it, you have 10% chance of getting an interview. And if you get an interview, you got about a 1 out of 5 chance of getting in. Yeah, so that's
right,
like 2%.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Well,
so
is he out of medical school now or no?
He is. He wound up going to USIS, which is an acronym. It's for Uniformed Services Health Science Med School down in Bethesda, Maryland. We have... a lot of people don't know this, but there's only one military med school in the country, and that's down right next to Walter Reed. You have to pledge to one of the branches in the service, and they will pay for your med school, but in return, after your residency, you have to give them 7 years. So he's in the Army right now, stationed down at Fort Campbell in Kentucky, and he's working through those 7 years.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it'll be worth it for him. He'll probably come out as a major, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. Actually, he becomes a major in a couple of months.
Okay.
But
they're moving people up faster than I remember. Okay, go ahead.
He's already gone through his residency, and he's probably 3 years into being a primary care physician. So, but I totally agree with you, because I had no idea it was that difficult. And I know I'm biased as a father, but I just figured it was going to be a slam dunk that he was going to get into med school. And it just the opposite. In fact, he was teaching over at BC High for a year in between. And he said, "Dad, if I don't get into med school, then, you know, I really love teaching. So maybe I'll just go that route." And then he got the call from USIS, and he went that route.
Good for you. Good for him, and good for you. Dad, thanks very much. You're proud of your son. Thank him for his service and his commitment to the medical field. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Bill. Siobhan, how are you, Siobhan? How are you?
I'm doing good.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you particularly.
Yes. So I had three doctors in my family.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle was one of the first instructors at UMass Medical.
Okay.
My brother-in-law. The thing, there is a shortage of doctors because they don't accept enough. My brother-in-law, the Army paid for him to go to Tufts Medical School. Then they paid for him to go to Johns Hopkins. So his daughter, my niece, is now doing her residency at UVM. But, yeah, my brother-in-law did not want my niece to become a doctor.
Why would that be?
Because he said she'd make more money as a lawyer than a doctor.
Now, not all lawyers make all that much money, but that's okay if that's what they thought. Go ahead. there's some poor lawyers out there, too. Trust me, okay?
Go ahead. I don't know. He even wanted her to become a nurse practitioner because she could get it quicker. But, she went to Bowdoin. She majored in Spanish and biochemistry, and then she worked for 2 years at UMass, Mass General, in the brain cancer unit.
Okay.
So now she's... But, yeah, so there is a shortage of doctors. We need to have more medical schools because, Maine doesn't even have a state medical school.
How crazy is that? You know, you wonder why in some of the rural areas of Maine there's a real shortage of doctors? clearly that has a relationship to that. And I think that
right.
we should open up more medical schools, enlarge the classes that we have in medical schools, because our population is continuing to grow. Look, the 2 million people who have just come into the country across the border, they all are going to be here a while, and they're all going to need medical care at some point. Where are they going to go? It's just going to break the hospital system. They'll just keep showing up at emergency rooms. They've shown up at emergency rooms for head colds or coughs or whatever, and that's not an efficient use of our resources.
No.
So, it's.
I just thought that was interesting.
I hear you.
My brother-in-law didn't.
But she's right. doing fine. But she's doing fine nonetheless. Siobhan, I haven't talked to you in a while. I haven't talked to you in a while. Don't be a stranger, okay? Call more often.
All right, yeah. Bye-bye.
I'm coming up to 10 o'clock news. Thanks so much. All right, interesting calls, interesting perspectives. We will continue on the other side of the 10 o'clock news. Going to change topics. And I want to talk about the difficult decisions that people make, and some people, all of us, will eventually have to make, and that is... what do you do when you try to consolidate what you own? We're talking about decluttering, downsizing, and moving forward. Looking for some suggestions as well. Back on Nightside, right after the 10 o'clock news on Nightside.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.